Sort teed up and.
Boyle can't make it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just their commitment that they couldn't.
This building isn't important to them?
All right, well, good afternoon, everyone. We are live again. This is an informal hearing on case number PU-19-332. It is 2:20 p.m. on Tuesday, October 22nd, 2019. I'm Commissioner Brian Crosius, joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchuk and Commissioner Randy Crispin. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Fedorchuk? Commissioner Fedorchuk? Commissioner Crispin?
I do not have any opening comments. Thank you.
Steve, are you going to?
I'm checking.
Just going to hold for a second, so. But I can take care of a few items here while
she's
we're
heard
waiting.
That stuff before.
Right, she has heard this before. This is an informal hearing involving only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we will close the informal hearing and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant goes first in this type of proceeding, but before starting, we can go around the table, have staff introduce themselves, followed by representatives of the company.
John Hsu with staff.
Victor Shook with staff.
Carl Liepitz, counsel with Montana Dakota Utilities.
Larry Oswald, Montana Dakota Utilities.
Tammy Eberle, Montana Dakota Utilities.
Stephanie Bosch, Montana Dakota.
Okay, thank you. And Steve, have you gotten word about the dropped connection?
I have not. Okay. Commissioner Fedorchuk, are you still on the line? She's calling in now. She got bumped.
Okay. That happens. Calls do get dropped.
Commissioner?
Yep, I'm here. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Okay, we went through the preliminary. Do you have any opening comments?
I do not.
Okay. Then company can proceed as you see fit.
Excellent. Thank you, commissioners, and good afternoon. So today we're here on PU-19-332 seeking approval of a new agreement with the North Dakota State Capitol to serve this property. And as a procedural background, the company's last general electric rate case was PU-16-666, and as a result of that, we had a settlement agreement, and one of the provisions of that settlement agreement, which was approved by the commission, required us to kind of refresh our special contract rates, and so we've done that, and as a result of that process, did enter into a new agreement in September of 2019, which was just filed on October 1st of 2019. And so we're seeking approval of that new agreement. And to Victor's comments on a prior docket, you know, in this case, we would be open to including a cost of service study if approved, and that we'd bring that forward in the next rate case for this customer itself. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Oswald.
Thanks, Carl. Commissioners, electric service agreement that we have with the State Capitol facility here is actually there's the existing agreement prior to the agreement that we filed in October here of 2019 is a new agreement. Prior to that, we actually had two agreements with the facility, one being an agreement that was originally approved in 1998, which provided a net 10% net bill discount for the off of rate 30 for the facility. That agreement was then amended in 2007, was amended and extended for a term of 10 years. At that same time period in 2007, we also signed an interruptible electric service agreement with the State Capitol as they put in additional generation to back up the load of the facility. And also, they have excess capacity that we are able to purchase as part of that interruptible agreement as well to use during times of peak load or emergency situations, similar to like another demand response resource for us. And that agreement was also amended in November of 2011, where the capacity credit was increased to from $2.50 a kW to $3 a kW as a result of the company's 2010 rate case. So knowing that we had two agreements and a couple of amendments, we felt it was we wanted to go forward and just do a brand new agreement that would supersede these previous agreements, and that's what we're proposing here.
Can I ask a quick question just as a point of reference? How often have you purchased power from the Capitol? Or, I mean, is that once in a year? Is it once every 2 years? Or is it more frequent?
I know it has been on multiple occasions. The last one being January of 2019 here, when there was a MISO emergency during that polar vortex. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yep. So, and that was the first time in several years. I just don't know. It really, our key is when there's a MISO emergency, or we could have a localized emergency that could be just impacting Bismarck Mandan, because of how the Capitol can help provide that to one of our largest load centers on our system to Bismarck to help us support that if it's a localized emergency.
Okay. All right.
Whose choice is it?
What was that?
Whose choice is it? Building needs to fire up the generators, then whatever they're not using, are you forced to buy it, or if you really don't need it, do you not have to? Is that just an option for you?
I believe it's an option. If we just need them to assume their load and not generate back to us, I believe that we can do that, or if we need their additional generation to come back to us, we can do that as well.
Okay.
It'll be our call.
But it would be our call, yes, through our electric dispatch center would handle that based upon the need on the system or on the grid.
If another interruptible customer was asked to shed their load, they would need to respond in the same fashion. They would get so many hours notice, and if they wouldn't, I think there's provisions for that in the on the tariff.
Yes. So, as we kind of discussed, the Capitol is unique in this nature that they're able to generate back that additional capacity above just assuming their load at the time of an event. But they're also unique in that, you know, they're served through a dedicated distribution substation for the state Capitol here as well, which is kind of unique. Typically, you're serving multiple customers out of a distribution substation, and larger customers that we serve typically out of a transmission level substation. So they're somewhat unique in that nature as well. As I said, they have approximately 2.5 megawatts of additional excess generation capacity, because their average monthly demand is about 2.2 megawatts here at the Capitol, and they use approximately 12.2 million kilowatt hours per year here at the Capitol. And that's something their consumption has definitely been going down over the years due to the aggressive energy management that they've been doing here at the state facility as well.
How many kilowatt hours?
12.2 million kilowatt hours.
12.2 million.
So this proposed agreement is at a rate that's less than the applicable 38 due to the additional demand response resource that they provide, to compensate the state capital for providing that resource. And they do provide distribution system benefits and with those generation capabilities for localized emergencies, that we do have the ability there. And the current rate provides an offset to fixed costs. Kind of the key terms of the contract is that the state capital would be billed our rate 38 demand and energy rates as tariffed with a $100 basic service charge. And then the company would continue to purchase the installed generation capacity of the capital generator for a monthly billing credit of $3 per kW of accredited capacity. And this is something that the state capital tests the generator every year to show that they have the ability to generate that amount every year through an urge test, as it's called. And then we would also continue to buy the energy during a interruption, purchase that energy that they would generate back to us, and we would purchase that at our avoided cost for the first 50 hours as defined under rate 95. And over 50 hours, then we would provide the customer a 21 cents per kilowatt hour purchase price on that, knowing that as those hours would climb, there would be more maintenance that would be required on those generators, and their diesel costs would start to build, so we should compensate them at a higher rate at that point. And the 21 cents is similar to what we pay customers underneath our demand response resources program today as well.
Would you, I'm sorry, was there another slide, or are you ready for some questions?
Just the question slide. That's
the question part.
That's okay. The last slide.
All right. Would you consider this contract as proposed to be an outlier or unusual in comparison to other like customers, knowing that this is a unique situation in itself?
Because of that purchase of the additional generation back is what right. makes this contract different than other demand response contracts that they only assume their load during the event, where here we have that additional 2.5. So the way rate 38 is structured, the customer only gets the capacity payment, which is a discount in what they pay for their demand over rate 30 for their billing demand, where this isn't really applicable for the state capital because of that additional generation.
So Victor Shook with staff, we are in support of this agreement. As Carl had alluded to earlier, this is a little bit newer one, so we hadn't had time to come up with a settlement agreement with the company on this yet. We would certainly be willing to do so, or the commission could just order it in an approval order that it be the company be required to do a cost of service study specific to the state capital contract during their next rate case. So we do believe this would result in just and reasonable rates. Again, it's impossible to know with certainty without that cost of service study, but we do believe based on these relatively minor discount levels, it's the likelihood of subsidization from other customers is extremely low.
So I think I was going to ask the same question or get your thoughts on the question that I asked, or the question I asked the company in terms of would this be viewed as an outlier? I know it's unique in its own right, but
yeah, it is unique, and I think that's why it is on a special contract rate. If they were just interruptible and they could shed their whole load off the system, they would be like any other rate 38 customer. But the fact that they can interrupt their entire load plus kick back extra generation into the system, that makes them a little bit more unique and given some special consideration. Yeah. And I think that's what's been done here.
Yeah. And full disclosure, one of my concerns would be the fact that you have a regulatory body making a decision on the rates that they receive, and public perception is important in terms of knowing that we didn't get a really nice deal in the process because that wouldn't be a road we'd want to go down. So we just want to be on par with what the people we serve have to deal with as well.
That was kind of another point I'd like to make. So the reason that this contract is before us is because of kind of the optics of the old contract. So as MDU mentioned, in 16.666, we required them to do a review of all of their contract rates, this one being included. In December of last year, they concluded we don't need to do a new contract for this this building. We feel their rates are appropriate. And while I didn't disagree with the actual amount they're paying being appropriate, it appears that they were getting a large discount. The old contract states after your payment for rate 38, which was at a discount, and your credit for having the generation, you get a 10% across-the-board discount, which looks as though that the MDU customers in North Dakota are subsidizing what's something that's the responsibility of the entire state. I don't believe that was actually the case, but I think, as you said, the optics could indicate otherwise. So that's why we asked the company to go back and renegotiate the contract to remove that discount. And this is the result of that, which I think is entirely appropriate.
Based on our best guess of normal usage and occasional MISO dilemmas, what do we expect is going to be the impact on the state capital budget per year? Is this?
I would say.
How would it impact it?
This change from their old rate should be at most. It's probably going to be a slight decrease from their last one. Does that sound?
It's actually about a $3,300 a year increase.
Okay.
So very, very minor.
Right.
In terms of their overall
calculations, I did, I think, came out to about $2,000 of a decrease, but it probably comes out
in the billing units will maybe sway that a little.
Right.
It's essentially a wash.
Yeah. It's pretty much a wash.
And that's how
on the budget.
That's how I see it as well.
Yes.
It's so minuscule of a difference, one way or the other. It is, in my opinion, I would agree it's a wash.
It would be worth noting as well that the company and staff, as well as facilities management, all sat down and had a discussion when we first raised the issue with this contract rate as well. So they've been involved with this as well.
Yeah, and John Boyle just had another commitment, or he would have been here today, that they couldn't change, but he did ask me to say that he does support approval of the agreement.
This is probably unique in the sense that you're almost hearing a message of make sure you're charging us enough. But I would rather deal with the ire of other agencies, frankly, than the ire of the public that we are supposed to look out for. But it sounds like that this helps accomplish that from an optics standpoint.
I believe it does. And honestly, my primary concern is more so that this is a just and reasonable rate versus that the Capitol building and anybody else is getting a discount.
Right.
Our focus is to ensure the rates are appropriate, just and reasonable.
Mm-hmm. I think you accurately depicted what we were thinking when we first looked at this too. We have to make sure that we're getting charged enough as well as a state for just as well as any other customer.
Mm-hmm.
When we reviewed this contract, right?
Okay, good.
One other thing. When we talk about the state capital, so are we talking about the DOT building, the Heritage Center, the Water Commission? What are we talking about here?
I'm honestly not.
Yeah. I believe the DOT building and the Heritage Center, I believe, are separately metered. I believe it's pretty much the Capitol complex, including the judicial wing and the DOT building, kind of this main hub, I believe.
That's sort of what I suspected, because when I heard about how usage has been able to be reduced with efficiencies, I was thinking, I mean, I get that that's possible, but beyond adding that large new Heritage Center, I mean,
yep.
It just seemed like almost too much of a stress.
Separately metered.
Yep, separately metered, yep.
How about the state library?
I believe that is also
separate.
I believe it is.
Right.
I'd have to double check on the one line diagrams, but I believe it is.
That's been around for a while.
Yeah, it has. But I do, I think it's separate. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Commissioner Fedorchak, did you have any questions?
I really don't. I think you guys have been covering the bases.
Okay, I don't have any other questions. Commissioner Chrisman?
No, sir.
John, Victor?
Nothing from staff.
Nothing from me.
Anything else the company would like to add?
Nothing.
Then the handout, as well as the audio recording of this proceeding, is now considered evidence. Are there any objections?
No objections.
The evidence becoming a part of the official record upon which a decision will be reached?
Not here.
No objections.
And if no one has anything else to add, the evidence as presented will now become part of the official record upon which a decision will be made. Are there any other matters for the record? Seeing none, this informal hearing is now closed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.